Atari ST Show number 1. Did Atari really give away pirate software with new STs in 1989? That question answered, plus news and homebrew, all coming up next. Hi, this is Jeff, or Old Man Code, from Into the Vertical Blank, and today officially begins Atari ST Show, or just ST Show number 1, covering the Atari ST line of computers in detail, but not in a linear historical fashion. What we aim to do here is to cover the ST line of computers by finding interesting stories and angles about the machines, its applications, and games. So to begin with, we're going to ask a question that probably has a nuanced answer. Did Atari Corp. knowingly give away commercial IP as public domain when it compiled and supplied the 20 great PD games discs to dealers in the USA as a gift for new computer owners? I set out to answer that question by becoming fully immersed in the contents and manual for these discs. But in doing so, I found so much more than I initially thought I would. And instead of just a mystery, I found something that I feel, at least personally, is more important to the history of the ST. Well, we'll get to that soon enough. But first, let's start here. What, may I ask you, is the 20 Great Games PD disc collection you're talking about, Old Man Code? Well, in 1989, Atari Corp. in the USA wanted to give away some software with new STs that were being sold mostly specialty store mom-and-pop outlets in the USA. As opposed to the UK and mainland Europe, where the ST machines were sold on high streets and came with bundles of great software and games, in the USA, these bundles were mostly nowhere to be found. I don't know why, and possibly we'll investigate that in a future episode. But for today, we just know that Atari looked around the various USA BBSs and CompuServe and found 20 games they thought were public domain, put them on sets of 4 discs, and had Atari shops give them away with new machines. Unfortunately, as Atari Mania mentioned in their entry on these discs, quote, "This pack was given away free with STs sold in the USA. Although the manual claims that all the games are PD, they accidentally included 4 European commercial games, Trifide, Pangy, Jumpster, and ZXYM. Okay, let's get the simple answer out of the way right away. Yes, it was illegal, and yes, they did do it. But did they mean to? Probably no, they didn't knowingly do it. Let's tackle each of the 4 supposed commercial games first, as a way of explaining how an overworked, underpaid, possible jack attack victim is an informal phrase used to describe individuals, particularly employees, suppliers, or partners, who are negatively affected by the notoriously tough, ruthless, and aggressive management style of Jack Tramiel at both Commodore and Atari. First game. Pangy was released as a commercial game by Red Rat Software in 1987, and it was never officially released as public domain. So Atari's guilty here, right? They just threw commercial software on the disc. Well, not so fast. In March of 1989, USA-based ST Express magazine put Pangy as Pango onto its own disc as public domain, which in reality it wasn't, of course. So either Atari saw it on that disc and wanted it for their own set of discs, or ST Express saw it on the Atari discs and put it out as PD because it was on the 20 Great Games PD disc set. In either case, there was enough confusion here to probably indicate they didn't knowingly violate copyright or IP laws. But, of course, they did violate them. Next up is Shoot 'em Up Trifide. On the other hand, this game was a fully commercial release by French label Press Image. No confusion here. But we have to remember, there was no simple database of what was commercial and what was not in 1989. And especially games released in France and the UK when Atari Corp is in Southern California. And to be honest, Tri-Fide, released 3 years before in 1986, does kind of look and play like a public domain game. Does that get Atari off the hook? No. But let's just say that had Atari tried to put Bug, a very nice press image game, on these discs, and yes, I would say they knowingly did so. And yes, they broke the law anyway, but most likely not knowingly so. Up next on the IP violation chain gang is a game called Jumpster. Jumpster was one of only two games released by possibly one-man German show publisher Pecksoft. Both Dr. Zoc, a breakout clone that's not included on the 20 Great Games PD disc set, and Jumpster were created by T. Strom. And well, they both look and play like PD games. So while, again, Atari bad here, it wasn't like they ripped a cracked copy of Xenon and put it on the discs under the name Ship Blaster or anything like that. They found a game that ripped off Qbert, an arcade classic, looked and played decidedly like a PD game, and while still technically illegal, was probably not intentional. The final reported piece of stolen IP was a Xevious-like shooter from 1987 called ZXYM. I could not get this game to control properly in any of the emulation setups I tried. I have played it before, though, and while just as the 20 Great PD Games manual says, this definitely is not Gold Runner, I remember it being an okay but slow shooter, and definitely feeling like public domain. Atari Mania users give it a 3 out of 10, and even they wondered if it was a commercial release. Again, someone at Atari is definitely at fault here, but at least they didn't try to actually put Gold Runner on these discs. So, you tell me what you think. Did Atari do this on purpose, or was it just a poorly researched mistake? I think it was a sign of the times. A cash-strapped Atari in 1989, looking for a way to give new owners something interesting to boot up on their machines, and completely missing the boat with at least these four games. And as I said in my review on Atari Mania for this pack a number of years ago, certainly there is some fun to be had in this package, as a free set of games to play on your new machine. But it wasn't even close to what the UK and European pack-ins were receiving. It certainly was not going to get anyone to drop the Amiga or the Apple IIgs from their hands and suddenly have to have an Atari ST. But when exploring this disc collection, I found something else that I think is much more interesting in the history of the ST, in the USA at least. The other 16 games are by early hobbyist owners of ST machines in the USA. And by hobbyist, I really mean hobbyist or enthusiast, like Steve and I. To own an ST in the USA and actually program a game on it in some way, you most likely previously had an Atari 8-bit or some other 8-bit machine first, and then wanted a shiny new 16-bitter. Or you were a new computer owner who was wowed by the simple ST interface and put off by the DOS prompt. Plus, the Amiga 1000, Mac, and PC clones were far out of the price range for most hobbyists. These are people at the dawn of the computer revolution, finding that spark of creativity, not really to make money, but to share with the Atari community something they had made with their new machine and were proud of. A few of these games are noteworthy, but almost all of them come with a README or game instructions written by the author. It's in these READMEs where I found some ever so tiny pockets of gold and silver that brightened up my exploration of this package. Let's take a look at those now. On to the discs. The first thing to really note about the 20 great public domain games discs is that intentionally or unintentionally, by the very way they're distributed, it taught new Atari owners that having an ST, in the USA at least, and finding software for it was going to be an adventure in and of itself. The collection is spread across 4 disks, and all software has to be unarchived with the ARC utility before a user can even get to reading the readmes or playing the games. The relative unavailability of Atari ST software, except for at regional specialty shops and the nascent internet, just a collection of dial-up BBSs, Delphi, CompuServe, and a few university FTP sites in 1989, meant that this activity actually gave these new users a great head start into being an Atari ST computer hobbyist than any other activity could have. Where UK owners could just boot up one of the 20 commercial games that came with their machine and enjoy joystick machinations within a few minutes of cracking the seal on their ST Mega Super Value Pack, USA new owners had to really work for their enjoyment. The first game, Benoid.prg or Breakanoid, arrived with the Benoid.doc. This game was written pretty early in the life of the ST. As the developer says, he made it to fill a gap in the ST library, namely, a breakout Arkanoid-style game. Of course, by 1989, there were dozens of both commercial and PD versions of this popular style of game available for ST machines. The best thing here for new ST owners was that developer Ken Newman created a simple way for users to modify and create new screens for the game by simply saving a file with the right naming convention that included the brick types organized in integers on an 11 by 15 grid. The integers are -1 for space and then 0 to 5 for which brick to use. This means that new ST owners could, conceivably, create their very own personal version of the game as a great new user hobby activity for their machine. So, 2 points here for Atari, for including a decent game and for it being one that would provide new computer owners with a fun, creative activity. The next game, Bomber, is described as a Canyon Bomber-style game from the 2600. I could not for the life of me get this game to work, and the only version listed on Atari Mania is a re-release from 1994 by ST Format Magazine. By the way, if you try to use the version on the ST Format disk attached to the Atari Mania database, it's not a game, but a utility of the same name. No points either for or against Atari here, as I failed on this one. They didn't. Let's move to Clowns, or Monkeys, as the PRG file is named. The readme is by author Frank Cohn, who also did a couple of other early well-crafted games for the ST, distributed by ST Log Magazine. I think, well, I know now, that this is the same Frank Cohn who made a number of commercial Atari 8-bit games like Ghost Chaser and Ollie's Follies. And of course, the Atari 8-bit prequel to Monkeys in Balloons called Clowns in Balloons. In the readme, it also says that he was paid $14 an hour to make an Atari 8-bit version as a college freshman in 1982. This entire doc is filled with cool nuggets of info and a golden slice of Atari ST and Atari 8-bit history. He adds a little programming note that explains how other programmers should be saving and restoring the main system color palette when a game exits and goes back to the Jam desktop. He also talks about the homebrew assembler he used from William Robinson and how the game utilizes Degas Elite compressed images and much more. Frank seems to be a California lad also and probably visited the same ST specialty stores as we did back in the 80s. Plus, he also explained how users can create their own graphics by editing the Degas files. Wow. 3 more points for the Atari Jack Attack victim. A well-made game, a great readme, and another place a new computer user could get inspiration and customize the game for themselves. C Poker is next, and I think it's called that because it was written in C, as the real name of the game in the readme is Draw Poker. One caveat is that right at the top of the readme, it says that this game cannot be freely given away to sell another product, so it's not public domain. While it is shareware, author Jeffrey Hughes from Butte, Montana asked for a $10 reg fee, it might be the fifth IP violation in this package. But it does go on to say it can be distributed with a library of PD discs, so who am I to judge? Jeffrey Hughes does a great job of explaining his take on shareware and software piracy, and it's worth a read. Plus, he gives very detailed instructions, talks about how it works in both color and monochrome, and instituted a whole set of shortcut keys to make playing the game faster than just using the mouse. More points here for Atari. Maybe it's not PD, but it's a well-made game and very nice slice of life and time capsule style information in the README file. Darts is up next. Darts is a game that I was able to load up, but had a lot of trouble with the controls. It sort of tries a leaderboard golf or 10th frame bowling style aiming system that will take some time to master. Mike Hughes, the author, tried something unique here, and at the end asked for help with GFA basic sound programming. I wonder if he ever found the help he needed. Drive 4 is a driving game that I never really got a handle on playing properly. It's very simple though. The actual name of the game is Drive Venture by Bob Dolan, released in October of 1987. This is a very alpha or beta version of a game with not all the gameplay completed. It looks like it was pulled straight off the Genie online subscription service. There isn't a lot of game here, but I appreciate the detailed description and programming talk by the author in the README. Escape is a 1988 PD maze puzzle action game from another SoCal lad, Eric Lindros. While I personally find the game to be kind of cool, I would need a lot more time to really appreciate it. Time I would have had when exploring this with my new machine in 1989. A lot of effort was put in by the author, and there is even a $50 contest he inserted into the text file. It was written in a compiled language called K-Seca. This is a great addition by the Atari Jack Attack victim. It's a well-crafted game with nice instructions, a contest, and the ability to get the source code from the author for a fee. A pretty much perfect thing to explore on a new machine. Another interesting thing about this set of discs and other PD discs like them for the history of the ST is finding all of the different programming and game dev tools that people used before STOS was available. We plan to cover as many of these as possible in some way as we go along with the ST show. Galactic Warriors is up next by Joel Fradkin from 1987. It's a pretty, meaning it looks good, sliding arcade shooter that doesn't include very much in the way of documentation. It has nice colors, two types of player weapons, and provides a nice little, if difficult, pure arcade blaster for new ST owners. It's the only game I could find from Joel, but it was promising enough to hope he created other games at some time on some other platform. Hackman is a very nice looking Pac-Man clone with no sound, and its animation was built with another tool that could have sparked other creative ST hobbyists in 1989. The only doc included with the game is one about the Animatic Animation System from Kinetic Microsystems in the USA. It seems to be a powerful sprite animation system and exactly the treasure I look for in these PD and shareware games. If the ST had been as popular as at least the Atari 8-bit, if not the C64 in the USA, many of these tools and other games made with them would have arrived, similar to how the Amiga took off with creative developers when the 500 started selling well. It appears that a French version of this utility may exist, and I'll have to translate the manual and have a look in a future episode. Labyrinth is a computer version of a classic handheld analog marble rolling game. It's by John Williams, but not the same J-O-N Williams, responsible for some very high quality commercial Atari 8-bit and a couple nice ST games. It's yet another game where new computer users can simply change out the game graphics in Neochrome or Degas and create their own level. Another wonderful, true PD and creative sparking effort inclusion by Atari. Also in this collection is another game by John Williams, Lunar Lander. it's also a game where the player is simply able to create his own level of the game by modifying the graphic to his own desires. Great inclusion, Atari. Mega Maze is up next. This is a shareware RPG game by the same Eric Lindros, who created Escape. It looks similar to Escape, but is even more difficult and involved in both medium and high resolution, and comes with a good set of instructions in the README. Motor. Motor is a nice-looking, easy-to-learn, but hard-to-master motorcycle simulation. Like many other PD and shareware simulations, there's a great kernel of a game here that could have been fleshed out into a much bigger contest. Also, like many of the other games in this collection, the course can be changed, this time with a simple text file, creating a very custom way for new computer hobbyists to modify the game. ROCM is an interesting one. I'm not sure Atari knew what it was getting into with this one. It's actually the setting screen only, as far as I can see, for a shooter called Companion 1 Opening Moves, a scrolling blaster by Thomas Stoker, also from California. Possibly the whole game is here and I didn't set up the disc properly, but what is here answers some questions I had when I covered Companion 1 in my previous video on 1988 ST scrolling shooters. Here is the game playing in that video. If it is indeed on here, it's pretty well done. But what I actually wanted to talk about was GIST, the GI sound tool, a sound driver for the ST that I remember seeing in the Start magazine catalog early in the ST's life. Like Animatic, this is exactly what I'm searching for on these discs, and something I'm going to explore in detail and make a game with in a following episode. ST Vegas is a nice four-game complete Vegas simulation sans the drugs and exotic dancers. There is no README here, but all of the graphics are in neochrome formats, allowing the budding game designer to be as creative as they might want to be with it. Note, I didn't find a way to spin the roulette wheel. I'm pretty sure I just missed it somehow. Tektrix is up next. Tektrix is a nice, simple, text-based Tetris clone. No more, no less, but definitely worth the time of a new computer user to while away a few minutes late at night after exploring these discs or the other games and software they might have purchased with the machine. The final game is Worm War, and it's quite simply the best, at least to me. It doesn't come with any documentation, but it's a fast, fun version of Centipede that 100% is a palate cleanser for anyone who made it this far in the video or checking out these four discs on their new Atari ST computer. So there you have it. 16 other games and maybe one IP violation in them for a new computer user to check out, showing sparks of creativity from the authors and possibly sparking creativity in a new computer ST user. Now, on to news and homebrew. We're going to cover much more news in homebrew in the future and in our Atari Now videos and podcasts, but I wanted to select at least one here to dive into a little deeper for the ST show. So today we're going to talk about the itch.io Atari ST game and demo library by OrionSoft. The link is in the show notes. SDGL is for the STE, and FGDL is for the Falcon. It's a C library that encapsulates the extra features of these machines into functions used to create games and demos. The GCC compiler is required. I purchased the ST version, STE SGDL, a few weeks ago, and watched all of the videos attached to the itch.io page, but I haven't had any time to really look into using it myself yet. Here's what the library supports on the STE. The low-resolution 16-color video mode, double and triple buffering, virtual screen hardware scrolling, palette fading, GIF image loading, blitter sprite drawing with automatic generated transparency masks, keyboard, mouse, and joystick support, and probably the best thing for me is a sound mixer with up to 4 channels and WAV file loading, a random number generator, and a tinylib CD library for small executable sizes. There are 2 example games included on the YouTube page showing exactly how to create a very basic point-and-click game and a shoot-'em-up. In these videos are three tutorials from 2024. One on setting up the GCC 9 compiler in Windows or Linux, and the two game examples. As I said, one is to create a shoot-'em-up game and one is to create a point-and-click game. I plan to test this out soon by porting the logic of my stalled STOS Amadar KidGrid port to it. The reason all of my STOS game development projects have stalled so far is because I simply don't like the limited data structures available in BASIC, and I want a struct or a simple object I can use to encapsulate data. Well, guess what? C has those, and this library will probably help me get started further in my game development efforts for the ST. All right, that's it for this time. Please leave comments, criticisms, and especially topics you would like us to cover in the comments on our Atari Now Reddit or the Into the Vertical Blank contacts in the show notes. Oh, and on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Until next time, have fun playing with your Atari ST in the vertical blank.
We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full-stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, and programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.